Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.I. Sheldon Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be in Psalms 40, beginning at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise Thee, that Thou art our God. Thou art the lifter up of our head, the deliverer of our never-dying soul. Oh, we praise Thee for Thy gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of Thy Spirit, and of Thy grace that Thou hast given unto us, and Thy love shed abroad in our heart. Our Father, we wait before Thee for this radio audience, that Thou wilt deal mightily and effectually by Thy Spirit in each and every heart. May Thy Word go home in power and in much assurance. We'll give Thee the praise and honor and glory, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Would you like to be on our mailing list to receive these messages that we deliver on the Word of Truth broadcast from week to week? We'd be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you will write us. Also, each month we give a free book away on our broadcast, and the one we're giving away this month is entitled The Disciplines of Life by Raymond Edmond. A book that you would thoroughly enjoy. It's a devotional type of book. 31 chapters dealing with the disciplines of life. The disciplines of danger, deformity, dependability, delight, determination, difficulty, disability, disappointment, discernment, disease, disillusionment. 31, just like that. He takes a character of the Bible and he gives how God used the things that he used to discipline them in the Christian life. I wholeheartedly recommend this little book for your perusal. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Also, if you'd like to have information concerning our circulating tape and cassette ministry, we'd also like to for you to think about that. These messages delivered on the Word of Truth broadcast and our messages given here at Mount Zion Bible Church and also in our evangelistic services throughout the South are put on tape and available for your use if you'd like to join us in our circulating tape ministry. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We began a few weeks ago a series of messages on the subject, the Word of God and sin, or what the Holy Scriptures teach concerning this awful law or principle called sin, which is rebellion against the holy and righteous God of the universe. We desire again today to continue our subject under the heading of the effect of sin upon the human race. I pray that you will listen as we go into this subject, showing you from God's holy word the effect of sin upon you and myself and upon all men, born of women. In Romans 3:23 we read, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And if this is so and it is, then the question is asked, how ruined is the sinner? How deep is he in sin? How does the Word of God describe each man, woman, young person, and child by nature? How does God see each soul out of Christ? What condition does he see each soul to be in? How far did man fall when he sinned in Adam? How does the Bible describe the sinful heart of man? We answer these questions by saying that the Word of God teaches that the effect of sin upon man has been that he is by nature a totally depraved sinner, nothing but sin, hopelessly lost, and abides under the just wrath of a sin-hating God. The Word of God does not try to minimize, gloss over, or deny the awful ruined condition of every soul outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible so pictures the effect of sin upon man that for him ever to be saved and spend eternity in a state of holy bliss, listen to me now, He must be saved by grace and grace alone. And this worked in him by the power of God's Holy Spirit and by His power alone as He operates upon the soul by His blessed Word. Also, the Word of God declares that for a soul to be saved, that soul must be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who shed His precious blood as the appointed substitute for sinners. My dear friend, there can be no salvation apart from substitution. God, in the person of His Son, dying in our place, for only sinless blood can satisfy a holy God, and that sinless blood only the Lord Jesus Christ had. And I praise God that He shed it for sinners, and that He shed it for me. Now, I know that we have said a mouthful in regard to depravity, but to the law and to the testimony, let us look and see what Scriptures teach concerning sin and its effect upon man. And let us back up all that we have said with the Word of God. Now, I want you to listen. Now, whether you believe what I'm going to say or not doesn't affect the fact that it is. It is the individual who faces the fact that he stands before God as a totally depraved sinner, who's in a position to get saved, as long as we deny it, cast it aside, and says it isn't so. Sin, or what we have today in our society, is not sin. Some sort of disease that men have, but it's not sin. Man is not a sinner in the sight of God. Now, you can say this and go your way and do as you please, but the individual that faces this fact is a sinner who puts himself in a position where he can be saved by the grace of God. But my friend, let me tell you, it's not a question of whether you want to face it or not. You and I will have to face the problem of sin, one way or other. Either in a day of mercy that we're living in, or we'll face it in the day when there will be no mercy. But every man faces the fact of sin. All right, are you with us? I want you to listen now. In Ephesians 2:1 we read, "And you hath he quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, this is where Scripture declares us to be, by nature, spiritually dead. This is not physical death spoken of here, although that is caused in the last analysis by sin, but it is spiritual death spoken of, the state of separation from God and His life. This state of spiritual death here linked with trespasses and sins, because it has to do with the moral and ethical part of the individual. That is, it has to do with our understanding, our affections, and our will. But since the unsaved soul is living in a state of separation from God and His life, then his understanding, his affections, and his will are energized and controlled not by God, but by his totally depraved heart and nature. That is, he's controlled by Satan, as the Word declares in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." My dear friend, will you listen attentively as we go into our subject further? You and I have got to face this. And this is the reason I preach it, because God told me to preach it. We've got to face the fact of our sinnership before God. You see, man was placed by his Creator in the Garden of Eden as a physically, morally, spiritually, and intellectually perfect man. But by his fall through sin, every faculty of his being has become depraved. Therefore, the Scriptures teach that man is a totally depraved human being, totally corrupted by nature, and spiritually dead. Listen further. When we say that a man is totally depraved, we do not mean that he is devoid of conscience, for most men are not. We do not mean that he is devoid of all qualities that are pleasing to men, for most have some qualities that are pleasing. Neither do we declare that man is as corrupt as he might be. For in his soul, apart from the grace of God, he can commit the most hellish crimes that man can think of. All we have to do is to take up our daily newspapers to see how vividly this is portrayed. And what do we read there? Daily, the newspapers proclaim the depravity of man in his hellish crimes of rape, murder, incest, torture, all brought on by a demon-controlled mind and spirit. Therefore, man is not as bad or as he could be and corrupt as he could be, for he is capable of committing the most hellish crimes that man can think of. And neither do we declare that man is as corrupt as the devil, for the scriptures speak of him as being the prince of devils, the prince of sinners. I hear someone asking the question then, Pastor, what do you mean when you say the scriptures teach that the effect of sin upon man was to make him totally depraved? Will you listen? I'll give you an answer. We declare that the scriptures teach that every part of man is in a deteriorated state, that every faculty of his being is twisted, perverted, and poisoned by sin, that he is destitute of the love of God, has an abhorrence of God, which becomes active enmity or rebellion as soon as God's will comes in contact with his own, and that he is subject to a law of constant progress in depravity. This we are told in 2 Timothy 3:13 in these words, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I know that this is not popular preaching, for no man loves to be told that he's a sinner, that every part of his being is in a deteriorated state because of sin, and that he has no spiritual righteousness or spiritual goodness that God will acknowledge. I know this. But I do know this, that every soul under the sound of my voice today who has been saved by the grace of God came to see and acknowledged before God that he was a depraved sinner, a helpless sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, and he had nothing to present him to God but sin. And my friend, to preach unto you morality, to preach unto you the doctrine that is preached today to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, to just believe four spiritual laws, or try to make you feel good by giving you success stories and all of this, this is not what you and I need. We'll never appreciate the blood of Christ. We'll never appreciate the pardon that God has to offer in Christ. We'll never appreciate the precious righteousness that God covers sinners with. We'll never appreciate the justification that God offers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, that we know the dead state, the terrible state that we're in because of sin. And my dear friend, you'll never hear the story that Christ came to seek and to save only lost sinners, unless we know that we're sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, is the word of God. But how do we appreciate this? Why would we want a pardon? Why would we want to be justified? Why would we want to be absolved from our sins? We did not know. We stood before God as depraved, hell-deserving sinners. Let's go further. God's Word pictures all men to be sinners. Presidents, kings, governors, teachers, judges, scientists, laborers, slaves, ministers, priests, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether a man be rich or poor, ignorant or learned, in the gutter or in the pew, the Word of God pictures us all to be sinners, depraved sinners, lost sinners, condemned sinners, hell-deserving sinners, ruined sinners, sinners having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of our hearts. Yes, the Scriptures picture you and I as being sinners by nature, who have no righteousness, sinners who do not seek God, who are gone out of the way, who are altogether become unprofitable. What a commentary upon man's depravity is given us there in Romans chapter 3, beginning with that 10th verse, on through that 18th verse. The Word of God pictures you and I as being sinners who have no righteousness, no goodness, gone out of the way, unprofitable to God. Sinners whose throat is an open sepulchre, whose tongues are used for deceit, who have the poison of ass under our lips, sinners in whose mouth there is nothing but cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed blood, who have nothing but destruction and misery in their ways, sinners who have not known the way of peace, and sinners who have no fear of God before their eyes. Read it. Read that description given in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. This is not a beautiful picture, is it? This does not give us any grounds for boasting, does it? We have here what Isaiah 1, 6 describes as man being one putrefying sore, uncovered before God. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Still not a beautiful picture, is it? This picture that God draws upon the pages of Holy Writ of you and I in our natural condition before Him. And the thing that grieved my heart, and the thing that still grieves my heart, is that all of this is open before the holy eye of that holy and righteous being who created us in His own likeness and His own image. And God sees us, sees our hearts. Oh, my friend, if they're not covered by the blood of Christ, we're lost and lost forever. But let us go further. I say this is not all. Wait now. I hear someone say, Pastor, you mean to tell me that God's Word pictures man in yet a more sinful state? Yes, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, the Word of God tells us that man's spiritual eyes are blinded so that he cannot see any beauty or glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3, 19 tells us that man's affections are prostituted so that he does not love God but hates Him without a cause. Yes, love's darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. But the greatest liability of them all is what John 5, 40 tells us, that man's will is depraved. For we read, ye will not come to me that you might have life. Why? Because man's understanding is darkened and he does not know the awful danger of sin. Again, his affections are prostituted, so he sees no beauty in Christ that he should desire Him. Then because the depraved will cannot act upon its own volition to go out to Christ in a wise decision, it must choose sin and hell every time because the darkened understanding and prostituted affections governs the will. There's no such thing as a free will, my friend. The will of man is not sovereign. It doesn't act upon its own. The will is governed by the understanding and the affections. The will cannot choose of its own. It cannot choose apart from its understanding and its affection telling what to do. That's the way God made us. So all of man became depraved in his fall in Adam. And so unless our understanding is enlightened, unless our affections are changed, the will goes on choosing sin until we wind up in hell. See, this is the awful effect of sin upon man. He is helpless to choose God and wills not to repent because his will is depraved. And my dear friend, apart from the work of God, the Holy Spirit in his heart, and a work of grace in his soul, no man has the ability to come to God. For how can a dead man repent? How can a dead man believe? How can a dead man seek? How can a dead man come? He cannot. Apart from the grace of God working in his heart, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's the reason I read in my Bible, in Psalms, in Jonah, in the book of John, all the way through the Bible, that salvation is of the Lord. And I praise God that it is. For if salvation had not been of the Lord, and His power had not been manifested, and His grace had not been manifested, and His Word and His blood and His righteousness had not been manifested by the sovereign grace of God coming home to our hearts in the power of God's Holy Spirit, none of us would ever be saved. Oh, that's a commentary upon our depravity. But I praise God that He's worked in our heart. For I hear someone asking, Pastor, do you know anything of what you're talking about today? Are you just preaching down at us from your ivory tower and calling us sinners and do not know what you're talking about? I believe that's a fair question. I'll give you a fair answer. Yes, my dear friend, I can tell you, brother, from the depths of my heart that by God's grace I have been taught by the Holy Spirit that God's Word is true. I came to see by the illuminating light of God's Word in the hands of the Holy Spirit that I stood before God naked, guilty, full of pride and rebellion and lust and bitterness and covetousness. I was made to see my far distance from a holy God and came to abhor myself, to hate myself, because God was looking all the time upon my sin. And I made Him look upon it. And I didn't like what I saw, and I know He didn't like what He saw. Yes, my friend, I agree, it is not a pretty picture to look upon. But when the Holy Spirit turns the searchlight of His Word upon your heart and begins to lay bare your heart and make it manifest to you, I know there will go up a cry you cannot help uttering, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I praise God for working this in my heart. I praise God for granting me repentance. I praise God for giving unto me that faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will too, my friend. If God would be pleased today with the power of His Spirit, and that's been my prayer, as I've been delivering this word, it's been coming home from my heart. You didn't hear me crying. But oh, if God would be pleased by His Spirit to take this word home to your heart today, you too would be crying like Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. I might come to Christ. I might be a partaker of that divine nature. God would give me a new heart. Oh, that I could love Him, that I could appreciate Him, that I could come to Him and find in His precious blood that cleansing, that deliverance that God has for poor sinners. I know you would. This is the way God dealt with my heart, and I praise God for the gospel of the grace of God that tells us that this depraved sinner that we have been telling you about today is the very sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for. Yes. For when we were yet without strength in this totally depraved condition, Christ died for the ungodly. And God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And being justified by His blood, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit, even in this hour, will take His precious word home to each and to every heart. Would you like a copy of this message? We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. You write us, will you? This has been Pastor Shelton speaking to you again today, thanking that you have been with us. May the blessings of our gracious Lord rest upon you and yours, is our prayer.